It's Loving the Strange with Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar. Loving the Strange, a podcast for weirdos and those who want to be weirder. Embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Loving the Strange. Check us out. Hey, everybody. Hey.
Hey, baby.
It's Loving the Strange, and this episode, starting promptly at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard
Time. Dang, it was. Because
I'm a rock star like that, is all about the strangest thing you've seen or experienced.
Hey, I got a question for you real quick.
Before we even start.
Yeah. So when you're doing the intro and I can only see myself down at the bottom, can you hear anything from my side?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. Yeah. So in order to do the podcast, we have an intro and then we have to add ourselves to the live podcast, right? We add ourselves to the stream. But every week Sean talks during the intro and I never know if he thinks I can hear him.
Well, now I know you can't.
Now he knows and now everyone else does. That's so all right. Maybe the strangest thing I've seen so far this week is Sean.
That's probably every week, baby.
Baby, did you see anything strange this week?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
Not too strange. No, not this week.
How come?
It was a non-strange week, I guess.
Oh, man.
What are you looking at?
I'm trying to fix something because our comments back to people is not showing up on our live stream. I know, which means that while I try to deal with this technical issue, I can't deal with it quickly enough. You would have had to carry the podcast all by yourself.
We know that doesn't work out too well. Anyways,
we should probably hi back to D. Hi, D.
I can see it says "Hey D" on me in the comments.
Baby, yeah. That's not what I said. Oh, okay. I said that when we post the comments in the chat, it's not showing up.
Well, I see one from Carrie Jones that says, "Hey, D."
That's because
yeah,
you get to see all the magic behind the screen, but the people on the thing don't. But I can do it this way. It's only showing up on YouTube. It's the problem in the chat itself.
I got you.
It's a techie thing. Now we've ruined the podcast.
We know I wouldn't understand. No, we're not cutting nothing.
Okay, so John Bell has a strangest thing he saw this week.
Yeah.
Which is?
John, what was the name of that fish again? I can't remember.
But he wrote in chat, it was the strange frankenfish my daughter caught.
Yeah. It looked like if it was like 10 feet long, it would swallow a human whole.
Yeah. John has an itty bitty daughter.
She's 12, I think.
But she's little. And she caught a monstrously large snakehead this week, which I believe is a type of fish.
It is a fish. It's, invasive species to Florida.
Sometimes fish
non-native.
Sometimes fish are really weird looking. Mm-hmm. Have you ever caught a weird looking fish like a snakehead?
Well, not a snakehead. I don't think they were around when I was down there. They hadn't invaded yet. But yeah, I've caught some weird looking fish.
Yeah.
like in the ocean, like a sunfish is real flat and funny looking. I don't know that I've caught anything as gruesome looking as a snakehead, though. It just looks like it lives in the mud, which looks like it was pretty shallow water where she caught it. But it's nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. How nasty was it?
It just looks like a mudfish to me.
Have you ever seen this kind of fish? Sadly, only the people who are watching this and not listening to it will see it. But have you ever seen the blobfish?
I have not.
Have you ever seen the sheep shed wrasse?
Possibly.
The yellow boxfish? Or what I feel like some members of your family would be the favorite fish of all, the psychedelic frogfish.
No, I've never seen that.
No, I didn't think so.
I don't think any of my family members ever licked a frog.
Oh, I think that you've never licked a frog, Shawnee.
Me? No. God, no.
I licked a frog once.
Did you?
On a double dog dare, yeah.
Well, it didn't have the white milky secretions coming out of its skin, did it?
No, I don't think so. It just looked like a cute little frog.
And here you are, still alive.
Still alive, but maybe that explains some things, right?
Good job. Yeah, maybe.
So D wrote in chat, a long time ago, my family was on our way to my grandparents' place, and there was this guy walking down the side of the road, hair all over his head, with black square glasses and a big old grin on his face, and he just waved at us. I believe he was carrying a basket, too. Was it Sean?
No, I don't have that much hair.
Well, you may have at that point in your life. I think Dee has heard this story, and I know that Sean has, but Dee, you sparked a strange thing that I had forgotten about, even though I used to talk about it at every school visit I ever did. So there's this fair in Maine called the Common Ground Fair. Sean, just check out, all right? And it's a big, huge, awesome fair every September, except during COVID. And pretty much like everybody who likes Sean's on his phone.
That was a joke. I'm sorry, because you told me to check out.
Okay. So, and everyone was, I don't know, baby. Why don't you just go?
No, you got to tell the Common Ground Fair story. You started it. Okay.
I know, but you made me feel bad. Okay, so this guy, and everybody from Maine who has any interest in farming or food or fairs or organic things goes to this fair, right? And so this guy is walking in front of Emmy, our oldest daughter, and I into the fair, and he smells really funny. And by funny, I mean funky. And by funky, I mean like mouse dead in the attic in the summer in your grandmother's house with mothballs, and it's just nasty and hot, like that hot smell of death, right? And so I look up, because you know, you smell something like that and you're gonna look up, and this guy, and it's a hot day, and he's wearing like all corduroy, like he's got a corduroy trousers, corduroy like suit coat, it's all like earth tone colors, like the early 70s, and like everything is corduroy. I don't know if his undies are corduroy, but possibly, because it was a wicked theme, right? So he's stinky. He's weirdly dressed. And then there's these flaps in your trouser jacket. I don't know what you call those, Shawnee.
Flaps? I don't know.
Okay. And like everybody else is wearing, obviously, like tank shirt tops and t-shirts and shorts. And he's wearing all these corduroy clothes, and corduroy is a heavy fabric. And underneath these flaps is this tail, and it's like, oh, I have dog fur on me, and it's like a big curvy appendage sticking out from his bum, and it's like all wrapped in earth tone fabrics, scraps. And he turned around, and Emmy and I were staring at him, and Emily's like, don't look at him, don't look at him, because she's way smarter than I am and has more street savvy, but I of course have none. And I'm like, what is he doing? Why does he smell? And he like turns around, and his eyes were silver. And I was like, oh! And Emily is like, don't look in the eyes of the predator. Don't look in the eyes of the predator, mommy. And I'm like, but. And she yanks me down. And she's like, tie my shoe, mommy, because she's good in an emergency situation. And I was like, you know how to tie your shoe. That man. She's like, just tie my shoe and don't look. And so I tied her shoe and I didn't look. And I was like, did you see? And she's like, yes, of course I saw. And I'm like, but what was that? Why were his eyes silver? Why was he so creepy? Why did he stare at us? And she's like, you know, he's probably like in a theater thing, or it's like sciencey, like the light rays refracting off his pupils coming through the trees on the trail that we walk into the fair on. And I was like, no, he's a pixie. He's a human-sized evil pixie. And that is how I got the idea for the need books. But he was one of the strangest things I've ever seen.
That's way stranger than anything I've ever seen, I think.
I doubt it. Oh, you lived in Florida.
I've never seen anybody with a tail.
It was not just that he had a tail. It was like wrapped in fabric tail, yeah. Which is special, I'd say.
I'd say so, too.
So, Dee said that the guy that she saw on the side of the road was kind of old. So if it was Sean, he's aging backwards like Benjamin Button.
I'm kind of
And
old.
John Bell said, "Scorpion fish and lionfish are wild."
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. Sean, do you want to
I'll read
tell a
something that I
tale
have.
since you won't remember anything from your own life, babe? Maybe we can get John Bell to remember something for you because we are friends in high school.
I'm sure that's when I've seen some of my strangest stuff, I'll tell you. For this is not my tale. For at least, and babe, you know the site where this came from, not me.
Something.
That's all right.
That cove. All
All
the
right.
links to anything Sean references are in the podcast notes, which are available at carriejonesbooks.blog. And this is from ThoughtCo.com.
Thank you, Levy. You do that so well. This is by KGB112. For at least 15 years now, I will occasionally, maybe two or three times a month, mistakenly think I see someone I know when walking around. Then, within the next few minutes, I will actually see that person. It's frequent enough that I call it now. I'll be like, "Is that John?" "Nope, not John. But I better see him in the next 10 minutes," and then I do. I don't read into it at all. It's just an odd little quirk in my life. That's it.
I don't get it. Why is that weird?
Because he see very often he sees somebody that looks exactly like but is not the person he'll see within just a few minutes later. Like an actual friend.
Oh, but we have people like that in town.
It'd be like if you were walking down the street and you're like, "Oh, there's Mike Staggs." But wait, that's not, it looks just like Mike, but that's not Mike. And then you'll see Mike without planning on meeting him or anything.
But we
A
were
few
in
minutes
Rotary Club and there were like three
later.
guys and they're all
Yeah.
like 5'7" and they were palish and they had mustaches and brown hair and the same complexion and the same build. And I always thought they were all the same
It
person.
took like 2 years to get them sorted out, didn't
It really took a
it?
long, long, long time. I
Yeah.
eventually learned that only one of them would wear a vest.
That
And
was a
that's how,
giveaway.
yeah, that's how I differentiated. It was very hard. It was very
That
hard.
is funny.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna read one. Because
Right, read one.
I don't think that's that
Oh, okay.
unusual. I just think that's not as strange even as the Frankenfish to me.
Okay.
So here's this person's story again from ThoughtCo, and it's Marble Lover 707 was the original poster. And they said, "My story isn't nearly as strange as some others, but it stuck with me a very long time. My friend and I used to love to go out and hang out in one of the local cemeteries because they were like that. I guess because we were just weird. This was an older cemetery and was no longer used, so it didn't have any new graves in it. One day, while we were hanging out and just wandering around, we stumbled upon a new looking grave marker. It stuck out like crazy because all the other markers were old and gray and crumbling. On some of them, you could barely make out the names. This marker was much newer, and the name and dates were clearly visible. It was also a rather neat red marble color, which was really different from all the others. We didn't think much of it and continued our trip through the cemetery. We sat down under this big tree in the middle and talked and laughed and did other stupid kid things. After an hour or so, we decided it was time to leave. We crossed right by where the new grave marker had been, and it was gone. We both kind of freaked out a little bit and searched the whole graveyard looking for the brand new marker, and it wasn't there. We checked it for it several more times on different visits and never found it again. It was just weird and something neither of us could ever explain.
That's pretty freaky.
Have you ever had anything, seen anything weird in a cemetery?
Nope, don't
When
think so.
you were a cop, did you like go in the cemetery and look for weird things?
On occasion, sure I did.
Did
If I was bored, yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Did you
What?
ever find anybody canoodling in the cemetery?
Probably.
I remember.
Do you? Oh, yeah. Well, they weren't really. They were making out and stuff, but I don't know how and far into it they were. The people I'm thinking of.
One time, Sean, when he was a popo, he came upon, he was doing the rounds, and he was up on this hill in Bar Harbor where there was a, it used to be a nursing home, but I guess they were converting it, or it was a hotel and they were converting it to a nursing home or vice versa or something, right?
It was a nursing home first.
Yeah. And we went up there and he found these two people, the car parked. And he was like, ah, kids, I'm going to get the kids making out. And so he goes up to the car and it was one of the coaches for one of the elementary school teams and his wife, thank God. And she was like a person who deals with the public a lot. And she's like, oh, it's our anniversary. We just didn't have anywhere else to go. And it was really funny because it was like, upstanding citizens. That's kind of weird, right? Like these.
Well, I mean, that's really actually quite common, but that particular one was pretty funny. blunt honesty is always best in a situation like that. Who can't understand that?
She was like, oh, we went out for a really nice dinner and then it's our anniversary.
We can't go home because the kids are there.
That's really funny. But that's kind of strange, maybe.
Yeah.
If you're not used to finding top tier people of the community, the respectable people making out in a minivan, I guess.
That's like, right.
Yeah. But the best part is that they were an actual married couple, I think. Maybe that's the funniest, weirdest
and really
part of all.
And really forward about it, so.
Sorry.
That's how it ended. See you later.
If anybody has one, please, send it in.
Dee has one up right on the screen.
Oh, a new one?
Yeah.
Yay, Dee. Dee says, Sean.
When I was younger, we were visiting my granddad in the nursing home and I got chased by a lady in an automatic wheelchair. Terrified me for a very long time.
For real?
How can you even go in the grocery store now and you see people in the scooters? Like PTSD.
Poor little D. Ooh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine?
I can. Actually, it's quite funny in my imagination, too.
Have you ever gone to a nursing home and seen something you didn't expect, Sean Kelly?
Am I supposed to say yes?
No, I was just wondering.
I don't think so.
No?
No. Okay.
Here's one of my favorite ones. You ready?
Yeah.
What are you looking at, baby? Are there strange things flying around you?
No, I was listening, but I think it's just because we got a storm, that storm outside. I think it's stuff knocking into the wall outside.
Yeah, it's super rainy and windy here, so we may lose internet any moment.
We won't.
And before I do my story, Nancy Stone gave a story. Yay! All right. So, I didn't see this, said Nancy, but my sister did. She was at a stoplight in the town center intersection in the middle of the afternoon when it's a continuation. Oh, no. When suddenly she saw a completely different view. It was nighttime, and she was dancing with someone. She turned and looked out the window and saw the town center intersection below, lit by the streetlights. A few weeks later, she went on a blind date to a fireman's ball at the local firehouse. While she was dancing with her date, she looked out the window and saw the .. We need Nancy to read the rest of the story. Right? Oh, no. But
it's coming.
I bet we know what it might be.
What? I'm just kidding.
Oh, my word. You're very difficult tonight. All right. Dee said, yes, my parents were in the room talking to the doctor, and I was outside the room, and that's how that happened. We went around in a circle a couple of times. So there's little Dee all by herself.
That is hilarious.
Her parents are doing important things, being parenty and serious, and there she is in a circle.
Being chased by somebody in a motorized wheelchair.
We're assuming.
Oh, she didn't say it was.
Oh, it said automatic. Yeah, she did say automatic. Whoa, that's terrifying. And as we wait for the end of Nancy's story, I'll read the crow story. Ready?
Okay. Oh, right. Yeah.
So I came out of, oh, this is again from that same site, ThoughtCo, and it's Hedoniste Egoiste or something like that. I came out of a store one day and turned the corner to see a crow trying to read a paperback novel on a park bench. He was perched on the bench, turning the pages with his beak. When he noticed me staring, he hopped away like I caught him red-handed and took flight a moment later. I ended up getting a tattoo of a crow reading a book because the incident left such an impression on me. No one really seems to believe me, but dude, corvids are F-word smart. I figure it was either imitating a person or trying to harvest the pages for a nest, but either way, strange experience. Have you ever seen a crow do anything weird, Shani?
No, I don't think so, but I believe they are very intelligent birds. Oh, are you trying to lead me again?
I'm just trying to get you to tell me anything, honestly.
Oh, I got
anything
you.
Bay, any kind of story, incident.
Sooner or later, you'll jar me.
I don't think so. When I was a little kid, I saw a crow. My dad had a magazine on his back table. My dad and my mom had very different opinions about birds. My dad loved birds with all his heart, and my mom was phobic about birds, so much so that like you couldn't bring a feather in the house and she wouldn't sleep on like a down pillow. And if you had a jacket with little feathers that could come out
in the freak her out?
She was
very was hardcore.
Very hardcore about the feathers.
Because of the movie.
She says that she was afraid of birds before that movie.
Oh.
And allegedly her father was too. And I think my brother and sister are a little bit as well. But I didn't get that.
No, you didn't. You love birds.
I do love birds. And anyways, but my dad, after they got divorced, had like bird feeders all around his house and like feeding the birds all the time. And he like just loved birds. And there was a crow on his back deck and it was flipping through like one of his magazines. And I'm like, what's he doing? And he's like, oh, they always do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like nothing big. He's like, oh no, they always do that.
Looking at the pictures.
Yeah. My dad was like a little dwarf or hobbit. It was like everything was magical around him when it came to the outside.
Was it a naughty magazine?
No.
Okay.
My little hobbit daddy, if he had nudie magazines, which he probably did, I guess, he probably hid them under his bed mattress like any good man of his times.
So easily found.
Only if you're looking. Only if you're looking. All right. So John Bell says, we want to read it.
We used to ride 3- and 4-wheelers next to the cemetery. One night I ran around back and into an empty part of the cemetery. I was riding around on grass with dew on it, and I went to turn around and started sliding like I was on ice. And then flew off like something pushed me off.
Oh, no.
That was the last time I went in there.
John has bad luck with the ghosties.
Yeah.
I bet the strangest thing someone else saw was John flying off of that.
Flying through the air?
Yeah, like poor John. I hope you were okay. Yeah, he was, right? You're here.
I'm sure he was, yes.
Oh my gosh.
I don't really remember him ever being injured when we were young adults.
Didn't John get injured when the car did the turnover story? Like that we just heard.
Yeah, but not, I don't think so. I don't think not badly.
Sean's like, oh yeah, you know, he broke his neck, 3 ribs.
No.
Sleep. But he was fine. It wasn't much. We're from Florida.
Pretty much.
All right. Do you have a story, my friend?
Yeah.
Strangest thing you've ever seen?
Oh, no, but I have one to read.
All right, that'll work.
I mean, I can't. I've been racking my brain even from when I was a cop, and I can't think. I can think of some strange things, but they're not like probably appropriate, you know.
Can you talk about them without getting us banned from Facebook?
I think so. Man, it's really raining outside.
That's not what anybody wants to hear about. Can you talk about it without any asking?
Well, like, you know, I've been into people's houses, you know, when they weren't expecting people.
Oh, no, tell that story. Tell the story about the house.
What story is that?
I can't give you a clue because then somebody will figure it out.
The one here. Oh, is it kind of local?
It's very local. It's near where we used to
have. That's fun.
Okay.
So we were, when I was a cop, and I can't remember why, but we were doing a search warrant in this particular house, and nobody was there. So we
are
just
you allowed to do it when no one's there?
Sometimes, yes.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot of times.
Oh, I don't know those things.
Like you can do your whole warrant, and just leave a copy of it behind on the kitchen table.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine coming home and you're just like, oh my freaking word, the cops were here? I would freak out.
Yeah, well, like you gotta have, you know, good reason. Good reason to do that. Anyways.
Oh my word.
We weren't really finding much in this what we were looking for, unfortunately. But we found a lot of stuff that I'm totally fine with in the sense of do your own thing. But there was a lot of things you might see online nowadays.
But back then.
They were made out of leather. And
they were everywhere.
For sexual pleasure. Yeah, along with all kinds of toys. And
they were everywhere.
I think most of it was man-focused.
That doesn't seem fair.
Well, I don't think it's about being fair. I just think it's about preference.
Oh, all right. That's and, okay then.
Yeah. But none of that had any bearing on why we were there, so obviously it stayed behind.
You guys didn't take souvenirs?
Like, no.
No?
No? No, that's not the kind of souvenir you want to take.
What? How do you know? How do you know?
Huh?
I don't know.
How do I know?
Yeah.
Because why would you risk your, you know, job or whatever for a stupid souvenir like that?
That would be really funny though if like your house gets searched, the cops find nothing, but some awful crooked creepy cop took one of your things. I bet that's actually happened before.
Oh, it probably happens then, all the time.
And then you're like, can I make a report about this? Like,
sure you can. Definitely.
The cops stole my thingy.
But well, that's the thing is most of probably 90% of the time people don't expect somebody to show up at the door saying we're coming in to look through your house, and all of a sudden you don't have time to hide your frilly little panties or whatever you're afraid of.
It's just there. Have to have a better hiding place for your frilly little panties in case we ever get.
I don't care. I'll just say they're yours.
Oh, I don't think we're the same size. Okay, I was gonna say,
they won't be looking at the tags, baby. Don't worry.
They'll be like, whoa. So sorry. I had a good one. I can't find. Oh, I know where it is. All right. This one is on Reddit, I think.
Yeah.
And we'll also have that link. Right. And this one was interesting to me. Because something kind of like this happened to me as a little kid. And the user said, who's TIAT323, and hopefully that's not something naughty that I don't understand. It said, so I'm walking to work. I'm 21. Old man passes me, who I've never seen before. He stops me and asks, excuse me, my name. Do you know where the nearest chemist is? I'm wondering how the hell he knows my name. I'm not wearing my name badge. I'm on my own, so he can't have heard someone call me it, and I've never seen him before in my life. I think I must have misheard him. I tell him the directions, and then clear as day, he says, thanks very much for your help, my name. Have a good day. At this point, I have to ask if he knows me from somewhere, but he just looks very confused and says he doesn't. So basically, some random old man knew my name.
Well, maybe he's just the forgetful one. The author.
The youngin'. They both forgot that they knew each other, but
that happens to me all the time.
Yes, I know. When I people are like, Sean, and he's like, hey. And I'll be like, how do you know them? And you'll be like, no idea. And I'll be like, did you arrest them? And you're like, no idea. No idea. Because it all blends in the head of the Sean. When I was a little kid, something super weird happened to me. And it was strange, I guess. I used to ride my bike illegally, according to my mother, across the highway to get to all my friends' houses in another subdivision. Well, it wasn't really even a subdivision yet, but a group of houses along a old rural road in Bedford, New Hampshire. And there was this big rock wall along this rural road. And I was like third grade, fourth grade, riding my bike really hard while my mom was at work trying to get back home before she figured out that I had left. And because I was one, not supposed to go across the highway, to not leave the house without telling my mom. And I broke those rules all the time because I liked freedom. And so I didn't like mom rules, my poor mom. So one time I rode across the highway to Jenkins Road, and there's this big old ancient rock wall from like revolutionary times or something. Well, what are those noises?
That's the cats. Cat. One of the kittens.
What is the cat doing?
It's caught a mouse, apparently.
Not a real mouse.
No, it's a mouse toy, but every time they catch one, they have to try to get somebody's attention and show off.
This is the least professional podcast ever. Okay.
And that's okay.
Anyway, so I was riding my bike back home, and I was like trying really hard to hurry up. And he was like sitting on the rock wall with his little legs swinging like he was a leprechaun, was this little old man. And again, a little old man. And he was like, hey. And I was like, hey. And he like made me stop. And because I have no stranger danger things then or now, I stopped. And because I'm like, oh, maybe he needs help. Maybe I can save him. My hero complex will be resolved. And so he was like, you're not who you think you are, Carrie. And I was like, oh, he knows my name. And I was like, how does he know my name? He must be friends with my parents. And he was like, and I was like, what? And he's like, you're not who you think you are. And I'm like, who am I? And he was like, Ashlyn O'Gloughlin, or some weird, like, bunch of consonants all mucked together.
Like that a my Scottish little, name or something?
I don't know if it was Scottish or Irish or, like, Czech or Slovakian or Dutch or anything. It was not something my brain had a connection to, you know? And, like, I went home afterwards and I wrote it down, like trying to figure out what it was, like, because I couldn't get it. And I was like, mom, what's up? And my mom's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And which is why my whole family thinks I'm a freak, but like, also I am, but like, my little kid brain, like, I'll always remember this very, very small man. And I come from a family of very small people, and he was still small to me, just being like, Carrie, you're not who you think you are. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, well, but that's strange. That was one of the strangest things I've ever seen or has happened to me. And it's especially strange because it turned out my little hobbit dad wasn't actually my biological dad. So now my adult brain is like, oh, did this man know? Like, nobody else knew except my mom, obviously, and various other guys. But like, how did, like,
was that your creepy old neighbor?
No, we didn't have a creepy old neighbor.
He was looking in the windows.
Sean, that would be you. We didn't have any creepy old neighbor.
I wasn't old.
No, but it will be you. Maybe it's you and you're like time loop back. And you get really short, and you, like, sit on the rock wall.
Because I was alive when he was alive, so.
Oh. But it's a time loop. It's a time loop. And that's how you're the Benjamin Buttons type person, too, for D, walking on the side of the road.
Going backwards?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be 147.
And he still is in his mind. Dee said that she saw a bobcat on her way back from her mom's one time, which kind of freaked her out because she'd only seen one in cartoons. That's really cute.
Yeah. If it was nighttime and dark, that could be freaky.
Have you ever seen like something that freaked you out that was just a regular animal in the woods?
You know, I was just trying to think of that, and I guarantee you that that is a positive case.
Like, can you remember the story?
No.
You know, like you're, you know what you are? What? You know, like an improv when you have two people on the stage and one.
Oh, I could never do improv.
The other person's line, and the other people's like, ugh.
Isn't there a term for that?
Blocker, you're blocking.
I think you're right, but I'm not doing it on purpose. I promise you, baby.
I don't believe you. Gotta let down your filters. Never mind. Some of your filters are already too let down. So you don't like ever remember being startled like by a bear or a wolf or a moose or.
Oh, I've been scared by animals in the woods. Like, just even in broad daylight when I was like out hunting, some animals can make amazing amounts of noise, and you're like, "What the heck is that?"
Have you ever heard of? Well, you must like. I don't know what boars sound like because we don't have them up here. But those must be really loud.
They can be quite loud, yeah, for sure. When they're rooting around, you know, snorting and driving their tusks and snouts into the ground. They're real loud, yes.
Are they like as loud as a bear? Like, have you ever heard one
different
run?
Different sound. Totally.
Have you heard one run?
Oh, yeah. Well, they just run fast. Like right through the brush, everything. It's very loud. Yeah.
I think that's a really scary noise.
Especially at night it is.
Yeah. I went backpacking once, and we were going up a mountain in the White Mountains in New Hampshire. And it's a pretty popular trail, but to get to a hut. And there was a bear that something spooked, and it ran, like a black bear. So it's not like this huge bear. And it ran up the mountain, and it was the loudest thing. Like, I can't even explain how loud it was. It was
so cool. I think some of the scariest noises for people that are in the woods at night. You know what they come from? What animal?
Other people?
No, birds. Oh. Like owls especially.
Oh, like the hoo-hoos?
They make freaky, freaky noises.
Yeah.
Crazy. I like all those Bigfoot hunting people. I bet half of those noises are birds. I can almost guarantee you. Huh?
Probably. Yeah. Coyotes. Coyotes and wolves, right. And moose. Moose makes some weird noises.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like really weird noises.
We've had Doug, a lot of comments. Oh,
I'm going. Right. Doug Marshall said, I've seen unusual things, but never anything that couldn't be explained by the laws of physics. I'm so dull. Oh, you're not dull, Doug. You just make all your excitement from yourself. Doug also said, the only things I can't explain are love and hate.
I feel like I've seen some things that can't be explained by the laws of physics. I swear I do. I don't know.
Oh, that's no help.
Stop asking me.
My word. Okay, so
I'm gonna have to take a Valium. You get my anxiety all worked up.
For the airplane, baby. All right, so John Bell said, you know you've seen crazy things like me in the Everglades or at Palm Beach or River Ranch or out on the ocean, Sean. I sure have, but most included alcohol, so I don't trust my memory.
See, I kind of feel the same way.
Oh, you too. And Dee said it was later in the day when she saw the bobcat and had to call because she was freaked. I think that's what Dee's referring to. And Bryn Coburn said, you know how in video games characters can double jump? This wasn't scary, but weird, because my cat jumped up high, and it looked like he double jumped. That's kind of cool.
I can totally see that, too. We have a cat that can probably double jump, actually.
Our cat's wild.
She's pretty psycho.
No, she's not. She's lovely. She's a
She
very
is.
huggy, affectionate lover of a cat, but whoo, she's got some energy.
She's fearless too.
Fearless. She's
She
fearless.
walks on the railing upstairs. It's like 3-story drop down, and she just walks her. Well, it's only 1 story, but let's try to make our house sound better than it is.
Not like that.
Yeah, but she runs around on the railing like in this highly slick, polished varnish.
Yeah.
It's like a boat bright work,
And
but
she'll walk under the dogs while they're walking.
because
Like, she has no fear.
Carrie makes me sand it and put a new coat on every weekend.
I can't even get you to mop the floor, babe. All right, so D said, okay, strange story that I'm leaving details out. Ooh, that's not fair, D. Went to a party with friends one time, and this lady was hanging out the garage door telling me and my friend it was a lingerie party, and we needed to take our tops off.
Hilarious.
Was it in New Orleans?
Well,
Like,
I can't believe John and I never thought of that. Son of a gun.
speaking of John said, armadillos are the loudest. It's the things you don't hear are the worst. Snakes, bear, or bobcat in tree, or the sleeping Sasquatch.
He's right about that. Armadillos are the loudest because they're freaking blind.
Liz Graves said, I'll help you varnish the railing. Liz is known for her love of varnish and teak.
Yeah. Well,
I would never call anybody else to varnish anything other than Liz, actually.
good.
Yeah. And he said it was not in New Orleans, which is so sad.
No.
That makes this story really D.
She's not putting your story down, D.
No, I'm not at all. I'm like, ooh, I want the details. Sean,
What?
do you have another story to share
Oh,
from a piece of
sure.
paper since you have none from your brain?
Yeah.
Sweet, sweet man.
Don't patronize me, baby.
Sweet, sweet man. You
I once
kind,
went to,
gentle
and
soul.
you know this is not my story by the first sentence.
Oh,
I once went to Panera with some friends.
no. Sean has an anti-Panera thing going on. I don't know
Party's well.
why. What?
Party's scratching out here, and it sounds like I don't know what. Anyways, we
Like
got
a sleeping Sasquatch, an armadillo, a
an
bobcat.
armadillo, maybe, not a Sasquatch. We got our food and sat down at the table. About halfway through the meal, my friend says, "Did any of you guys notice that pole before?" I look next to the table, and there's a huge floor-to-ceiling black pole, literally almost touching me. I swear it was not there when we sat down. And
What?
at this point, I'm freaking out and saying we're in an alternate universe. I get the attention of a woman who works at the Panera and asks her if she's noticed this pole before, and she looks at it genuinely baffled and says she hasn't. I went back a few weeks later, and I swear to God it wasn't there. That's pretty cool.
Did they take pictures of it?
Well,
Like,
I
did they
don't
touch it? Like, I want to know more about the pole.
know. I'll tell you tonight, baby.
Oh, I give up. I just give up. I like just fed that to you. I fed it to
Yeah,
you.
you did. Thank you very much, baby.
I just fed another one to you, but you didn't take advantage, and I'm grateful for
Well, I
that.
didn't want to
Okay.
go off the deep end with my pole jokes. I understand, though. I'll feed it to you later.
There you go. All
Oh,
right. So there's another one on Thought. Then he takes a drink of water. There is another one on Thought Co., which is an interesting one for me. It's not super visual though, but I think it's still really interesting. And it's once I tripped at the top of the stairs, I was worried because I knew landing would hurt and because my pup was at the bottom and I was headed right for her. Anyhow, when I landed, it was like I fell on top of an air bubble. I didn't even touch my pup and she remained sleeping. No idea how neither of us were hurt.
huh. That's like angelic intervention.
That's like when I was in the Bucksport Road accident, but not really.
Yeah. That's why an air bubble protected you.
Yeah, it was like an air bubble. It was crazy. Like, no, it was just a big fancy person SUV. And
oh, I thought it was like a
it's not my other accident story in Main Street in Ellsworth. But okay. This story, I was behind a school bus. There's this big line of cars, right? Huge line of cars. Because it's a school bus and it's busy right then. And you all have to stop. And it's like a two-lane highway. It's one of the bigger highways, but it's not really a highway, I don't think, by other places' standards in our area. And this guy who was driving up from Boston and to vacation on MDI fell asleep at the wheel. And so because it was such a long straightaway, you could see that this guy was like coming over and coming over and coming over that yellow double line. And there was nowhere to go because all the cars behind the school bus like had this much, like that much room, right? Like boom, boom, and they're super close, right? Like you just couldn't get your car out of the way. And I was like, oh no, because my car was out further than a lot of the other cars because I am blind and I like to be able to see up the road. And I'm like, he's going to just smash me. Like, should I lean over? What should I do? Because I can't get the car out of the way. And I'm like, oh, I'll turn the wheel. I'll turn the wheel as far as I can so that when he hits me, I won't go boom right into, like, I don't know what I was thinking, but I had all these quick thoughts about what I should do. But before he got to me, it was like my whole car jumped to the side, the opposite side. And I was like, how did that happen? How did that happen? And then he like grazed my rear view mirror. What's mm-hmm. that thing? Side view mirror? What is
side,
that thing?
Yeah, side view.
Yeah. And that's all the damage that my car had, really. And every other car was a smashed up mess.
Really?
Yeah, everybody had huge damage. No one could open their car doors. Bart Tokus, the cop who was on duty for Ellsworth at the time, he was like, how did you manage this? And I'm like, I don't know. Because I wasn't going to say, like, well, my car jumped to the side right before the impact. Like, I still don't know how that happened.
Maybe it was all you, baby.
Maybe it was an air bubble.
You have a secret mental power.
Of jumping cars?
Yeah.
I have another story like that, but I won't bore everybody with it. That was the one with the semi, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dee said that she and her friend didn't know what they were getting into with that party. They just thought it was a regular party.
Well,
I bet a lot of people have seen strange things when they went to a party that they thought was a regular party.
Yeah.
But maybe wasn't a regular party.
I don't think I've ever stumbled into something as exciting as a sex toy party or lingerie party or swingers party.
Or let's make balloon animals party.
No, definitely no clown training class.
Yeah, or origami swans party, or some nice lovely parties, but might feel strange to you because you just weren't expecting it. No, we're not.
I'm going to read a story.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all ready.
Sitting next to a... I hope I can find the other half of this. Sitting next to a friend at a camp. All right, let me start over. Sitting next to a friend at a camp out / canoe trip, I said, I just feel like I need to move. Like I shouldn't be sitting here. He didn't move, so I laughed a little at myself and kept sitting there. A couple of minutes later, my brain pinged me again, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to move. As soon as I stood up, a ball of fire from a flow arts performer on the other side of the camp landed exactly where I was sitting. That's it.
What's a flow arts performer?
I don't know, but it must have involved fire.
Wow. I have one that's kind of like that.
Yeah.
They're like other people, I occasionally have very prophetic dreams. They're always about something tragic, but I'll describe my most vivid one. About 5 years ago, I had a dream. I was in a horrible 3-car accident. with my then girlfriend and my younger brother. The car was totaled. There was smoke. My girlfriend and my brother went to the hospital, and that I died because I was pierced through the head with some sort of rod. Fast forward 2 years later, and my brother and I get a ride from girlfriend to go to a graduation party for a mutual friend. Girlfriend pulls out into an intersection. I immediately recognize everything from the dream, and I flinch to the left. Everything goes black for me for a few seconds after that. But when I regain consciousness, I look around and see the exact same scene as in my dream, except I lived. The car we were in was totaled. There was smoke from the other two cars involved and a rod that went through the windshield about 6 inches to the right of my head. It was the most intense moment of my life. Since then, I've always kept track of my dreams and paid very close attention to them.
No joke. Good Lord.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Like
that one is wild.
But those two seem kind of related. Like sometimes the strangest thing I guess you see are in your dreams, and then that sounds like Final Destination stuff. It totally does.
I don't know what Final Destination is, unfortunately.
It's a movie, babe.
Yeah.
How about you? Strange dreams come true? I know you barely dream.
Well, nowadays, I think I used to dream more when I was younger, but nowadays I'm just so exhausted my brain has to actually sleep.
Dig.
What? No, not at all.
That was a dig, man.
No, it was not a dig.
It's a dig.
I've never been a prophetic dreamer, though, honestly.
Okay.
I really haven't. You have, in certain ways, but not me.
But this is not the podcast for that.
I've always been an after-the-fact dreamer. I'm sorry.
What's an after-the-fact dreamer?
Like, I feel like I've had more dreams along the lines of, like, possibly having been visited in my sleep by the newly dead.
Oh.
Specifically, like, family. You know what I mean?
That counts as a strange.
It's pretty cool, though. I like it.
Even if it's in a dream. Yeah.
What's that? No, what did you say?
Yeah.
No, before that. That counts as a strange.
That counts as the strangest thing you've ever seen, even if it's in a dream, I think. Yeah,
because some of
them are loosey-goosey on the rules.
Totally visual.
Yeah.
As you know, in my dream. Like, you know who the person is. Maybe they're... They didn't pass very long ago, and there they are, real as life. Hello?
I'm right here. have you ever had the same dream as somebody else in your family?
No.
This is kind of off topic, but no.
It's not really, because I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I often have the same
Like the same night?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that's like she used to call me from college and stuff, and she'd be like, what did you dream about? And I'd be like, I dreamt about it. And she's like, so did I. All the time.
It was always Jared Leto, if you're interested. But
it was never Jared.
They both dream about him.
The last one was actually about... One of the last ones was we both had a dream about my mom, who is dead, which is why your story, which I paid attention to like a good human, it reminded me of that, you know? We both had this very similar dream about my mom.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
And interesting. Very sweet. If it was on the same night?
It was on the same night.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Susie Gowie says, while working at a camp in the North Main Woods, I learned to call owls to me and make them laugh. That's so cool. Okay, the scariest noises at night were not the owls. It was the 12 to 15 raccoons that came on the porch outside my room at night. They would scream at each other and climb on the screens. I'm sorry. A not scary thing I saw was a doe that knew when staff took smoke breaks because she would show up and nudge the pockets where the smokers kept their cigarettes. She would nudge until they gave her a cigarette. What?
That's crazy.
That's the strangest thing ever, but so wild. And like, was the doe addicted to nicotine? Like, how did that happen?
I wonder if she like ate it or something. That'd be interesting.
So interesting. I want more.
I tell you what, though, 12 to 15 raccoons on the porch could be scary.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
There used to be this place down in Fort Lauderdale, and yeah. I can't remember the name of the park. It was right outside of a state park, and there was a fire station. Like, literally, the fence of the state park ran right behind the little fire station. So we go park in the parking lot of the fire station, and if you bring, like, marshmallows or something, all these raccoons were basically trained by humans. When they saw humans on the other side of the fence, they came out of the park.
Yeah.
And it got to be, like, I think one of the last times I went, I think I went, might have gone with John. It got to the point where, like, so many raccoons would come out, they would surround you, and they'd be, like, almost crawling up your legs. We had to basically run away. Yeah, Burt State Park. Because it was like they were going to just pull you down and eat you. It was crazy.
Can you imagine my mother there?
Oh, your mom would have died. And got
she would have died then. Emily and I would have had joint dreams about my mom way earlier. And Susie said that the deer did indeed eat those.
That's what deer. I figured. That's amazing.
Amazing. That's amazing. Wow. Any more strange things, baby?
Oh.
In your head? We're almost done.
I know, but that doesn't motivate me.
That doesn't. Does anything motivate you, honey? Does anything?
Yeah.
Oh, I have one. This person wrote in about how they used to live in Roswell, and they did. Doug Marshall might appreciate this. They said, I lived in Roswell, New Mexico for years. I'm not the only person who saw this. My now ex-husband, a friend of ours, and other people who were outside saw it too the first time. I don't think it was a UFO. I think it was military. After all, there are many Air Force bases in New Mexico. So it's around 11 or 10 at night, and we're outside a bar, not drunk. In fact, my husband and our friend hadn't had anything but soda. I think I'd had one margarita at this point. Yeah, at this point cracks me up because it's like, well, how many did you have?
How many did you have after this
yeah,
event?
Yeah. So to continue the story, there's a black triangular object moving across the sky overhead. No lights, no sound. It looked huge. But of course, the size of objects in the sky can be deceiving. The only reason we could see it was because it blocked out the stars. We're all just like WTF. Right?
Yeah.
It flies off. We go inside and are like, yep, that just happened. We file that in our mental weird S word in the sky bin. A few years later, my husband's outside of our house watering the lawn. It's around 9 or 10 p.m. He yells at me to come inside. The same object is in the sky again. We just stared. Neither of us had a smartphone yet. Heck, I'm not sure we even owned a digital camera at the time. If other patrons at the bar hadn't seen whatever it was, I'd have been like, yeah, right. And for us to see it twice, the lack of sound was the part that got me. Not the sound before, during, or after it passed overhead.
That's a very cool story.
Yes.
Did you say somebody sent that to you?
No. That was in the thought comm. But it made me remember when I was a kid in Bedford, New Hampshire, and there was an Air Force tracking station very close by called in New Boston, New Hampshire. And my friends and I were always go out looking for UFOs because we had nothing else to do. And we didn't party like you and John Bell. And we didn't have alcohol and parties, the kind that Dee would accidentally get invited to. We were just like boring and goody-goody. So we like did random strange things like look for UFOs. But I remember one night, something really similar happened. But I felt like there was a noise to it. And I was positive that it was like a plane, just a plane that we didn't know about yet. But it did the same thing. Like it blacked. The reason we knew it was there was because the stars were suddenly gone. But it was like kind of like a triangle. And I'm pretty sure now as a grown up that it was a stealth bomber.
Probably.
You know, because it had that shape. Yeah. Yeah. And they were probably trying to see, like, and it was very low and like trying to see how the track, it worked with the tracking station, et cetera, maybe in the area. But I remember we were all like, whoa, like we were so freaked out. It was at the time a very strange thing that I
that would have been really strange.
Yeah, it was super really strange. Cool. Yeah, it was cool, but creepy.
Especially the kids.
Well, we were teens.
Even better.
Very excitable teens.
Right.
Hoping for something big to find.
Aren't we all?
Do you think you can thank everybody for hanging out with us? One of our worst podcasts ever?
That's not true at all. No.
I think right. So.
Regardless of that.
We'll have to have top 10 worst podcasts at the end of the year. And top 10 best and like rate them.
Okay.
Okay. And see if our lists are similar.
That's a lot of podcasts to listen to. Anyways. Thank you all very much for listening. Sorry if it's been a struggle tonight. I've had fun. And I appreciate your time. And I hope you all have a fantastic friggin' weekend.
Thank you very much for hanging out with us and for listening. I hope
something strange happens to each and every one of you.
But in a good way.
So you can report back next week and give us some ideas.
Right, but only in a good way.
Oh yeah, good way. We don't know no bad strains. Good
strains. Only good strains.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No one chasing you through the halls of a nursing home with their wheelchair.
No.
No. No raccoons trying to steal your food.
Nothing scary. Nothing scary. I'll tell you, that was pretty scary. Whew, 40 raccoons can make a man scared.
Yes. And maybe we all have an encounter with a cigarette eating deer.
That'd be really cute.
It would be kind of amazing. But I feel so worried about the deer. Unless it's a buck,
then you gotta give him a dip.
Oh, jeez.
Thank you for listening to Loving the Strange. Please be sure to like and subscribe. And remember, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Go get your strange on, friends. Thanks for listening.